Verse number 19. Okay. Again I say unto you that if you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Okay. We're just picking right up where we've kind of been leaving off with this whole series. We've been in a series called Asking God, right? And initially when we started talking about this stuff, we needed to make some clarification for... No, that bug kind of likes me.
There's two of them.
I have that effect on bugs. Okay. There was... First of all, we talked about some of the difference between what it is to ask in Jesus' name versus asking using the name of Jesus as a rubber stamp to try to get something that you want in the world. And the difference between asking in Jesus' name, being a place of a spiritual position where you are, John chapter 15 makes it very clear, where you're in the vine, you're in Christ Jesus, you're spiritually, He's the Alpha, the Omega, the author and the finisher of your faith, and you've come into a place under the dominion of the King, where you're under the dominion of the King, under the Lordship of Christ, so you are spiritually in Christ Jesus. So when you ask, you're asking in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to ask in the name of Jesus. Then there's a very strong difference between asking in the name of Jesus and asking using Jesus' name as a means of trying to validate something that you want in and of yourself. Now, there are people that ask using Jesus' name that end up getting what it is that they want. And that in and of itself is actually more along the lines of strong delusion, because they refuse to love the truth. God gives them over to a powerful delusion that they may believe the lie and so be damned. So there's a group of people that use Jesus' name as, they're not in the name of Jesus, but they use Jesus' name as a means of it's like the American Express card, you know, they just pull it out and try to use it whenever. And for a season of time, they'll use it and they'll get results. That whole seven sons of Sceva, Paul, Book of Acts, you remember those guys? Where they were using Jesus' name to try to cast out demons. And it said they were doing this. They were doing this for a while. Now one day the demon just decided, they said, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, we command you to get out. They were doing this. Now for a season of time it worked. For a season of time they thought, oh yeah, we've got this method down. And then one day the demon called their bluff and just decided, oh, I know who Jesus is and I know who Paul is. Who are you guys? So they weren't recognized in hell and they weren't recorded in heaven. And he just decided to turn on them and says that they got beaten so badly they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And so, you know, the other day too, I was talking to a friend and I said, you know, there are two kinds of, I said, because he was talking to me about Christians. I said, look, you need to understand the difference. There are two kinds of Christians. There's the Christians that know Jesus, and there's the Christians that don't know Jesus. And most people who call themselves Christians don't know Jesus. It's a means of a whole lot of things, just like any other religious system in the world, but they don't know Jesus. And, you know, we know enough people like that, that are part of an institution, part of, they go on Sunday, they go on, they all dress up nice for Easter. But there's a difference between those that know Him and those that use Jesus as a means. So this was something that we were, you know, establishing early on, and all the scriptures are there along those lines in 1 and 2. So now, here's something as well. So like, okay, for us, when we learn to pray, we learn to pray in accordance with how Jesus instructed, how the Spirit quickens, how the Lord guides us. And now the carnal world, and see, here's another thing too, the institutional organization of the church, which is very different than the body of Christ, which is basically wherever it is that His people are, that is the church. So right now here, we're the Church of Colombo. This is it. You know, it's where the people of God are. There is no denomination in the body of Christ. So... No, that's okay. I don't know, there's a lot of these guys in here today. Okay, sorry. I digress. But one thing that the institution does, and see, this is where I think it's difficult, because people, when they come to Christ, they've been so churchified that, see, it's actually easier for somebody who's just totally been in the world, because they can just tell the contrast between light and dark, and it's just like, oh gosh, okay, I don't want that anymore. But then when they take somebody that's been in the world, they bring them into the institution, and then they bait and switch them. So they, oh here, look, here's Jesus. And then they get them in there, and now they put all these rules, all these regulations, everything on them. And they get them so wrapped up in another form of legal bondage that that person is so, their butt is so tight wound up, because they just don't know what to do. They're like all freaked out about, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You can't go anywhere, you can't talk to these people. Oh, you better come to the church camp, and if you don't, you're going to hell. And it's like, and so they get these people just like set up like this. So, but one thing that they do too is they'll twist and they'll turn the scriptures as well. And when they twist and turn the scriptures, one thing that happens is that people all of a sudden now, it doesn't work. The scriptures don't work according to the misrepresentation of what they give you. And so what happens is that because people are not, this is important, because people are not the way that the scriptures that they're presented to them don't work, then they end up putting their faith in the institution. Their faith is now in the institution, because that's the place which is, it gives, it validates them. So for example, we started with this one. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Okay, I've heard this scripture 1,000 times. And this one too, one of the things that they'll do with this one is they'll be like, okay, so now two or three, you're touching and agreeing together in the name of Jesus for something, right? Okay, and it says it's going to be done, so we believe it. And, okay, what happens when that doesn't happen? For example, two or three come together in the name of Jesus, as they would say, and you pray that the sun comes up in the north tomorrow.
You don't have enough of faith.
Yeah, yeah. The sun, we are touching two or three in agreement and in using Jesus' name, and we are praying that the sun comes up in the north, and it says right here that that it shall be done for them for my Father in heaven. And
who knows what it is if it comes up from the north?
Okay. Not coming up from the north. Because... Okay. I'm making a point here. Stick with me. I'm making a point. Okay. Okay, you guys can kick each other under the table all you want. When you get... first of all, here's something too. One, is that whenever people come together in Jesus' name, when they're His people, and we pray about something, whatever we pray about, God hears us. And sometimes we just don't understand. No is a legitimate answer from God too. Very legitimate. Because he also knows. He also understands. He knows what's coming up. And I think there's a lot of things that, you know, looking back, where it's like, if I would have thought, you know, over the last 10 years, oh, okay, I'd want this or I'd want that, and if I would have gotten certain things that I thought, it would have completely undone me. There's, first of all, there's a prayer that we pray that trumps all of this stuff, which is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your, the dominion of the King of Kings is something that we pray for and that we ask for. So when we're asking for whatever it is that we're asking for, we as, because you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're under the dominion of the King. And if you're under the dominion of the King and you're hearing from Him, then you're also subject to whatever it is that the Father has put in place. So, for example, there are some things that God has put in place in this world. Like?
Excuse me?
Yeah. I know, for people. All right. I know, there's these little bugs that are little flying. What are those called? That's okay, okay, okay. It's all right.
Fireflies? No, sorry.
Not fireflies.
No,
okay. So one thing that happens is that when we come together at any time, we're coming together seeking the dominion and the rule and the lordship of Christ. So when we come together and we ask, we're praying about something, whatever it is that we're doing, first of all that we want to do is we want to get on His page. And how often does that happen? See, most times what happens is that people come together is they want something in the world. They want some kind of success in the world. They want some kind of something that they have that they've already got their heart set on. And in the process of them having their heart set on something, that basically when they ask God or when they come together with somebody else, they're asking God so that at the close of that, that they can then, at the close of that, that they can then get on with their life in the world. Okay. So, gosh. There's so many of these little guys around. Yeah. There's hundreds of them in here. Okay. And again, too, in verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And this is also why any time that you get two or three people that are really His, anywhere in the world, the devil will work very hard to put a fourth one or a third one in there. That's one of His own, part of His own kingdom, kingdom of this world, to break that thing up, to get you wrapped up in some kind of drama, to get you caught up with something, anything else besides the kingdom of God, or to bring in some kind of false thing, or to whatever it is, they'll always work to do that. And usually it'll be something that sounds very nice, sounds very spiritual, sounds whatever. But if you look back, you're just like, gosh, it didn't take doesn't take very long at all. They'll find your meetings. Yeah. Not many. They don't need many. They just need enough in there to throw things off. Enough in there to get you caught up with some kind of drama, some kind of anything besides keeping you on track. Okay. Another thing too, when we're praying and we're asking God, is that, see, there's stuff that, in any situation, what we need more than anything else is to get on God's page. We need to understand what it is that He's doing in a particular situation. Because many times what happens is in a particular situation, there's so much more going on than wishing away a problem. Hey, welcome. ¿Cómo estás? Come. No. Nah. Welcome. There's all these little bugs in here that are flying around, so they're Colonel of everybody. I don't know how they got in here. Is it?
Is it dark,
no? Open window.
No, you can't close it.
Okay. Okay, so we've got these little guys all over, so you'll be knocking
on the door. They come to listen to the word.
Yay, yeah, they're drawn to the light and to white shirts. Okay. Yeah. Okay, all right. Part 3, series Asking God.
Yes?
Okay. Okay, so one thing too is that we're always seeking to get onto the Father's page for whatever it is that He's doing in a particular situation. So for example, the world, what it'll do is most people that came to Jesus, I'll put it like this, the majority of the people that came to Jesus, they didn't come to Him because they wanted truth, obviously. Because when He started speaking truth, they walked away. What they came to Him for was because they wanted to get a meal. They came to Him because they wanted to get healed of whatever.
Yeah,
because yeah, and but basically, why did they want that? Because they wanted that so that they could then go and get back into their life in the world. So Jesus was to them a means of something in the world. And they thought they could use Him, or they could twist it, or He could... And He always knew their motives, their hearts, and their intentions. But it came to a point with Him where He just said, look, I'm not going to be your... Like after He fed the 5,000, you know, they wanted to try to force Him to be king. There were times He just had to walk away from all this stuff. Because it's not going to happen on their terms. He's the king. He makes the decision as He would. And it doesn't happen based on man's system, man's design, the way that he's trying to force God to do something for him. So what happens though is because people's hearts and their motives, their intentions are not right, what they really want in the end is their heart is set on the world. And Jesus is interchangeable. If it's Jesus they need to get what they want in the world, they'll have Jesus. If it's Buddha, they'll have Buddha. If it's materialism, it's materialism. If it's connections, it's connections. If it's somebody in the president's office, you see what I'm saying? It's whatever it needs to be for the manifestation of the core of their being that's not given over to God. So that's in the end what people seek.
They have to have needs that arise within them to pursue something, obviously. I guess we are also in a way like that, whether it be good or be more or less, you know, elevated towards good than the negative. So
yeah, because you know all this stuff is overlaid. For example, like Jesus, when he talked about you know, if you're gonna follow me, you got to take up your cross in Mark chapter 8. So it's like if you're gonna, you got to be on your way to die, and you have to see if the safety is if you have followed him in that. If you've abandoned yourself to just say, "All right, Lord, fine, take me through that process," he will take you to the death of yourself in a very real sense. Even the whole thing about baptism. The whole thing about baptism is it's a natural representation of the spiritual reality that you have died to this world, and the person that's here now is the resurrected life in Christ Jesus. So it's basically like, all right, you know, there's nothing left of me. The old person, there's nothing left of me. That the person that's here now is someone that has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ and is just a representation of him in the earth right now. Part of his body, part of the bride. That's who we are. That's what we're about. So now out of that place, that's when it gets cool. Because see, that when you come into that spot now, the desires that you have, the things, the directions that you go will be in line with the will of God. So it's a cool thing, but the problem is with the natural eye, you can't tell the difference. With the natural eye, it's like, okay, why is this person a singer and this person a singer and this one is a child of the devil and this one's a child of God? They're both singers. See, this is where, again, the institutions will be like, okay, that one's the child of the devil, so all singing is evil. You know, or this one's a child of God, so all singing is good. Wrong shirt for the day. Okay. So, you see how where the institutions... But, see, God looks... Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So God can... And the wheat and the tares grow together. So God can put His people anywhere, in anything. And the cool thing about, like, when we're walking with Him, is that when we're walking with Him, He will open those things up. But here's the kicker, is that for the children of God too, because we've died to this world and we have no vested interest in it, we can walk away from any of it at any given time. So for us, if tomorrow you have a thriving business, and tomorrow He just says, okay, now you're done. Go sell it all, and I want you to go live on a farm. No, He's done that. I've got a friend that He did that with. He just says, look, I want you to take up something entirely different. Or I want you to go here. I want you to go there. I want you to do this. Now when we pray, one thing that's necessary is that we get online with what God is doing in the situation. So that's why we're constantly like, Lord, okay, what next? How do we go with this situation? This is also where too, when people come to you, and guaranteed they'll come to you, and more so in the days ahead, because you have a connection with the Father, and the world recognizes the life of Christ in you. Whether it hates you, well, of course it hates you, but it still recognizes the spiritual power in you. So it'll come to you in a situation and ask you to appeal to God on their behalf because of something going on. So problem with the child, business, sickness, some family issue, some catastrophe takes place, whatever it is. And in the middle of that thing, they'll be like, would you please pray for me that... And if you look at it on a surface level, you get sucked in. First thing to do is to, in your spirit, before the Father, you say, Lord, how would you have me to deal with this situation? What would you have me to do? Do you... Because sometimes, you know what, for example, say somebody's sick. And the first thing that needs to be dealt with is that maybe that person has been holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness for the last 18 years. You can pray for that person to be healed, but if that other issue is not dealt with, that person is not set free from that. So if you blindly go into praying for somebody to get healed without waiting on the Spirit of God to quicken you for what's going on with that person, you know, or maybe that person isn't even sick. You know, maybe what they're doing is just playing with you, trying to get you wrapped up in their drama. It happens. It happens a lot, actually. So... Before we get involved with anything, before we get involved with that, because we're ambassadors of the kingdom. So you're a rep for the kingdom. So the first thing that we have to do is make sure, Lord, what's going on in this situation according to how He reveals, how He makes known. Yeah, gosh, these things are amazing. Okay. There's a goal that we do have in this whole thing. One is to come to a point where there's no separation between you and your complete reflection of the Father and a true ambassador of Christ in this world. See, there's a point that we desire to release ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit for Him to complete this in us, which is a point where everything that you are, everything that you're about, that it's burned out of you, and what remains is just a reflection of Him. And you know what? I believe that there's a measure of that that's attainable in this life. Yeah, I think there's something people will struggle with And maybe they'll be set free, maybe they won't. But there is an abundant life that Jesus said that he came that we might have in John chapter 10. So why not? And that abundant life also comes by following him. Because he said, I'm the good shepherd. Bless you. He said, I'm the good shepherd. So he leads his sheep. But he also said, as if anyone will come after me, if you're going to be one of his disciples, because you're a sheep, you're following him, let him take up his cross and follow him. So you see the overlay between the two. If you want the abundant life that God offers, you have to then die to yourself. And if you're going to die to yourself, then... Yeah, so there's this all, see, all the scripture interconnects. Everything that's in there, it's woven together. And in the end, what God is offering us is Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. One thing that's been cool for me and fascinating for me is seeing how when different people that I know that are given over to that process, how differently it manifests in their life, though it's the same core of what's taking place in them as in someone else, but there, so it's the same core, but it manifests, the journey manifests differently. And it, so, you know, like you look through the Bible, like who even God used to put it together, and you have all the huge range, slaves to kings, you have different languages and different places and all of this, but they're all people that just wanted God's plan and purpose. So likewise, it's like for us, it's like you can't do it the way someone else has done it. There's some principles that, yeah, they bear true for all of us. There is an absolute truth in all of this, but the manifestation of it will be uniquely tailored to each and every soul that will follow him. And that's where it requires an honesty before people, before God. You have to have that in yourself. If you're not honest in yourself about what is your intention behind this, what do you really trust him? Will you really go that far? Where's your heart in this whole thing? Because if there's something, if you're one of his and you're lying to yourself, he'll work with that. He'll let you know that. But if you cling to the lie, you end up having to let him go. If you hold to the truth, then he will bring you through that and give you a revelation, even of yourself. And it's a good thing, but it's going to be rough. So, okay, Matthew chapter 21. Let's flip forward a little bit. Matthew chapter 21. Under attack. Okay. And verse 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which I have done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Okay, you guys missed the first part where I said, okay, so does that mean where tomorrow if you and I get together and we say, alright, we're praying that the sun comes up in the north. Mm. Prayed in Jesus' name, right? Yeah. No, there's a difference between praying using the name of Jesus and being in the name of Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying from a position, a spiritual position, where it's John 15, where you're in the vine. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You're under the dominion of the King. Okay, now who's Jesus talking to in this one? We touched on the scripture some time back. One thing about the whole thing about the mountain is that, do you remember that? It's not necessarily this literal mountain as such. Because Jesus didn't even move a mountain during his earthly ministry. Well, you know, actually there was a principle in, as it goes back to Judaism, but where they talked about this thing, it's even something along the lines of related to study and pursuits, but where the moving of a mountain was this impossible task, and it was something that just, you know, you would just persist and go on until, I have to go back and research that one, I'm going to forget it. But Jesus, in speaking about this one, there was a block in their way, in their faith. And he said, look, if you ever have a question or a concern, you ask God, He will find a way to get that answer to you. He'll find a way to give you the revelation, whatever it is that you seek. And now when you think about it along those lines and think, how many times have you had a question or a concern? You've said, God, would you please show me what's going on with this? Would you please teach me something here? Would you, I need an answer for whatever it is. And how often have you then seen God reveal, make known? You'll be reading the word and something will come out. You will go to a service someplace, or you will speak to another person that's walking with the Spirit, and the answer will come forward in that conversation. That's what he's talking about, you know. But again, what happens is this because people are enamored with carnal things. So you've got all these guys going, standing in front of mountains with staffs and sticks and saying, I'm going to move you, I'm the next Moses. But who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to disciples. That's another thing too. Keep that one in mind. He's talking to those that would come after him. Now, if those are those that will come after him, okay, here, go over to Mark chapter 8. Chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says, And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore will be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay, so now Jesus is speaking to those that would come after him. He's speaking to those that would potentially be followers for abundant life. And these are the people that also, if you have an answer, if you're seeking an answer, if you're seeking, you have a block in your faith, you have a block in the way, he will get the answer to you. He will move that. Now, it doesn't go for people that are loyal to the world. You're not going to hear anything from God. In fact, people that are servants of the world and the world system, they're groping for answers. They don't have them.
My request is to be aligned with God's heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's an alignment process that takes place with us where, and this is again something too talked about a while back, spirit, soul, body, where to bring each of those into a place of spiritual alignment, of alignment with the kingdom of God. When all those three come into position, there's a place where it's unlocked even within you for the free flow of the Spirit of God in an amazing way. And that's something that we seek. That's something that we work towards. Not that this is based on works. It's not. It's a work of the Spirit of God. And He can work through you and in you in any situation. That said, there are some things that we can do to maximize the experience and to maximize the free flow of the Spirit of God through us. Because there's stuff that we can do that will put us in a position where it's hard to hear the voice of God. Like Isaiah 59 talks about. There's things that we can do that put us in a position where we damage ourselves unnecessarily. So if what you want is truth, what you want is life, what you want is the way, then for us, you might as well go all out and keep going in that line. Okay. Check here. John chapter. Wait, actually, let me read this one. Yeah, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse, first I want to touch on verse 26 and then I want to go through the chapter. Verse 26 says, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. I came forth from the Father, and I am come unto the world. Again I leave the world and I go to the Father." In what day, will he ask? Oops, sorry. Let me go back to verse 25. "But these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you." Okay, there's a transition that's taking place. There's a spiritual shift and change is taking place again as all of us walk this thing out. And there's been shifts that have taken place even in time. For example, we live right now in an amazing season, because what's available to you and I 2,000 years ago before Christ came, you know, that wasn't there. The way wasn't yet made for, in this reality, in this dispensation, in this time, for us to have the Spirit of God living in you, your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't done. So all that they had before that was a natural representation of the temple and all those things around it, and they were trying to work under the law and kept realizing, gosh, we can't do this of ourselves. So there is transitions that take place. So, in the season that you and I are born into, one of the goals should be, let's maximize what it is that God has made available to you and I in this season right now. Because again, everything continues to shift. Things continue to change. And it shifts based on the working of the Spirit of God in what He's doing in the earth at that time. So, for us, there will be another shift that takes place soon. And the people that are in step with what the Spirit of God is doing move with Him into that. And the people that aren't, they are left playing their thing. They're left with every other person that's playing their thing in the world. So you can fake it externally, but there comes a point where it's got to work. And if it doesn't work, it's not worth anything. Okay, let's go through this, because he's also talking to people that are John 15. John 15 being that he's the vine, we're the branches. We remain in him, his words remain in us. Okay, but John 16 says, "These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goeth thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. How that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hither have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day shall ye ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and I go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest from the Father. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay. I like going through just the chapters, because it's just, actually 15, 16, 17. Amazing chapters of just like Jesus' prayer for the disciples, for us, for just so much of what it is that we're about. But here, one thing that he goes through too is the transition. See, we see in a limited experience. You and I are in a limited point in time. And so for these guys even too, they kept trying to fit Jesus into what they imagined the Messiah to be, how they imagined the kingdom to be. They imagined that he was going to come set up this Jewish monarchy that would conquer the Romans and throw them out. And they were expecting this whole thing to start happening. And that's why they wanted to sit on his right and left. And all these things, they kept thinking along these certain lines with Jesus, and they couldn't grasp, because it hadn't been revealed yet, it hadn't been made known yet. The thought, because here's part of it, the experience was something that they would have never imagined, because it hadn't been made available. So when the shift of God took place, when the shift of God had taken place, it was something that was never done before. So the Spirit of Truth that leads and guides you into all truth will come and live inside the life, the body, the heart of a person that's given over to the kingdom of God. Amazing. Unfathomable. It's like talking to somebody 30 years ago about what the internet would be. You know, I can't use that analogy because it's far exceeding that. But I'm just saying, like, if you were to talk to somebody 30 years ago that, you know, what this technology would end up becoming and how invasive it'll be in all your life, nobody had an experience of it. Now, today, it's like people can't imagine, you know, in the metropolitan areas, their life without something like that, because it's become such just a part of the way that they exist and that they think. This is far exceeding that. So for these guys, they kept thinking, gosh, you know, God is, this Messiah is going to come and he's going to do this, he's going to do this, and he's going to do this. And it didn't work like that. One thing that he said, look, what I'm going to do is the rule is going to be in you. His kingdom, his dominion is within. The kingdom of God is within. John, Luke chapter 17, and now we keep your finger in John, but Luke chapter 17. And verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So what Jesus, ultimately, the kingdom of God, the rock that grew and filled the whole earth, happens within the life and the heart of every person turned over to the Spirit and the power of God. It's a rule that's within, and that's why the world can't touch it. How's it going to get to it? It can't. The only way is if you, of your free will, bow your knee to the prince of this world system and give yourself over to that in exchange for material success, something in this world. That's the only way that so the world, that both kingdoms honor your free will. Both kingdoms allow you to make a decision and go with it. But the world and the world system, what it does is it bombards you. And God allows for that bombardment because that bombardment, it tests your resolve and it works to actually refine you if you be one of His. So if you be one of His and if you choose to follow Him, that willful decision, that willful choice, he'll work that whole thing to test and see, are you really serious? Do you really want that? And, you know, actually I have a friend who was talking recently and I was listening to a broadcast, but he said too, it's really true. It's like if you give a plant like everything that it wants, you know, or you overwater a plant, it dies. I mean, if you take a child and anything that the child could possibly think of, if you give it to that child, you get a fat, sloppy baby. I mean, you just get this namby-pamby, milquetoast little, you know, just, I mean, it, whereas when an organism has to struggle to survive, when an organism has to go through some tests and some trials, you become strong. And when we go through the minefield of this life and of this world, and you're walking through with the Spirit of God, and you are in the battle, you're in the fight, and He's leading you through that, He's putting steel into your backbone. You are becoming something that is you need that. Now we wouldn't in ourselves choose that in our own thinking, but the Father knowing those that are His, and also knowing again what's best for you. That's what Jesus guaranteed at the end of chapter 16. He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The call is always to overcome. The call is not to get out of it. The call is to go through it. we go through. We are ones that go through whatever it is. And in coming through the other side, we glorify the Father. In coming through the whole thing and walking with Him through the whole thing, not bowing our knee, not wanting a way out. Daniel chapter 3, not being willing to, you know, oh, everybody else is bowed down. No, we're not selling out. God said, you have no other gods before me. So it's like, I got Exodus 20 down. This is it. My allegiance is to the kingdom of God. So I don't have to be careful in answering to this matter. To the point of your life in this world being gone. Because this world is temporary anyways. It's cool. It's not a big deal. But there is a transition and there's a shift that takes place. And see, this is why, again, we have to be like John 3, which is, and the Spirit of God will lead you in that way. Here, flip back and then keep your finger again in John 16. Gosh, they're shedding their wings on me too. All right. John chapter 3. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everyone that's born of the Spirit is like the wind. Everyone that's born of the Spirit goes wherever it is the Spirit God leads them. Everyone that's born of the Spirit is flowing with God, with whatever it is that He's up to at that moment, period. Everyone born of the Spirit is eternally flexible. Everyone born of the Spirit is up for whatever God's doing right now. Do you see how this doesn't work with institutional anything? It's a kingdom. It's under the dominion of the King. Anyone born of the Spirit, see what happened. Let me give you an example. If you're born of the Spirit of God, He will take somebody in Nigeria and He will speak to somebody in Europe and He will tell both of them, I want you to find your way to Nepal. And they will both be listening to the Spirit of God and they'll both get to Nepal. And when they get to Nepal, they'll meet up there in Nepal, both of them having the witness of the Spirit there. And they will meet somebody in that place that God has told, yeah, these guys are going to show up. And then they will come together for some assignment, for something that God is doing. And they will do that, whatever it is, may be seeming insignificant to the eyes of the world, maybe something amazing in the eyes of the world, doesn't matter. And then God will scatter them again and send them off somewhere else. And they'll just flow with it. When you meet somebody that's one of the children of God, there's a witness in your heart and in your spirit. This is a brother. This is a sister. There's something when you meet them, it's just like, God, I've known this person. I know this person. There's a connection with them that is deeper than what you have with your own flesh and blood. Because spirit trumps flesh. It always does. So on the level of spirit, if you have a brother and sister in Christ, you will have a closer connection with them than you will your own family. Now, it's really cool when you have family members that know Christ as well, because then that's just beautiful. But in the spirit, the people that we know in spirit, it's a stronger and a closer connection with them than the people that you know in the natural. And so for us, one thing that we do is we learn to flow with God. Now when we ask, we're asking now in the flow. So we're asking now as the Spirit of God is leading, directing, guiding, moving. And now it's like, see, and now here's what happens. You're not asking for yourself. What's happening is, because you're being quickened by the Spirit of God and you're in connection with the head, What God is doing is He is, because He wants His will to have a natural manifestation, and He's using you and I as ambassadors of the kingdom of God in this place. When you ask, He's quickening you to pray in accordance with His will in a situation, so that His will is manifest in that situation. So you're asking and praying in accordance with the will of God for something to take place, and when you're doing that, boom, it's happening, it's taking place. You see the huge difference between that and somebody saying, oh, I want a new car. Now, you may need that for an assignment that God has for you. Great. He'll show you. He'll quicken you for that. He knows every need that you have, every frailty that you have. All of that's there. You take it all before Him. Not an issue. But we're part of something much bigger. And so even with stuff like that too, so often it's like, because again, Matthew 6, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, I'll take care of the needs. Basically, that's there. I mean, we've been seeking first the kingdom of God. We've been able to look back and like, alright, Lord, You've done that. And there's been ups and downs. There's been times where stuff has been really full. There's been times where stuff has been really down. But throughout, have we eaten? Have we been taken care of? Have we had places to stay? Yes? Yeah, of course. So He's watched over us. So if you can just go by the track record that you have thus far of walking with the Spirit of God, you realize, hey, you know what? Throughout whatever this whole thing might have, He's going to watch over us. He's going to take care of us. So if you can settle that one, and you know what? Sometimes it's fantastic when you don't have much, because you travel really light. Yeah, I sometimes talk about, can you imagine if the children of Israel had to carry 40 years worth of food on their backs going into the desert? I mean, just imagine if you had to carry 1 year worth of rations with you somewhere. You couldn't do it. God provides the need when it's needed. So we just stay in step with Him along those lines. Okay. So, let's see here. When we ask the Father, now here's another thing too. We do ask. We do pray. We do, it's important that you do. Because when we pray, stuff happens. When we pray, things change. When we pray in a situation, stuff, it's amazing things happen. I mean, for example, had some friends that were praying about this thing going up and back to Vaunia. Now, we got into Vaunia. We got Ministry of Defense clearance. This whole shipment was cleared. Everything came together so fast in this country. And people are still wondering, how did that happen? And along the way, so many different places where something could have gotten blocked or stopped. One of the trucks kept breaking down. Different things. One place that some letters hadn't been handed over. Easily places where something, but God kept in response to the prayers because of what He wanted to happen in this situation. He just kept moving those things out of the way for a successful, amazing trip. Cool. So for us, we pray. And see, part of it too is when people then look, they realize, wow, whatever's happening there, there's something more going on than the efforts of people. And then it goes along with the Word. It goes along with the Spirit of who we have living in us. So for us too, you'll be put in different situations. You'll be put in different access points. The wheat and the tares will grow together. Now, again, back to John 16, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think it he doeth God's service. the very people that you'll be around, the places where you'll be, will be the very sources of persecution, of trouble, of heartache, of trial, of everything. They'll all be that to you. The very people that you bless, you have to brace yourself for this. The very people that you bless, the very people that you help today, will tomorrow be the same people that are crying, "Crucify." Can you imagine that experience for Jesus? I mean, for him to be, you know, having healed and helped and all that he did for those people, and then the very people then turning the next day around. These are the same people crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." A week, not even a week before that. And at Jesus speaking this in John 16, he hadn't yet gone into that experience. Because he's always prophesying. So now if he goes through that, we go through that. So you just have to brace yourself. See, this is something too, where it's like, know that the very people that you helped today could turn around and stab you in the back tomorrow. So use discernment. Be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. You go into these situations also aware of that. See, for us, one thing too is keep the brothers close, keep the sisters close. Realize that the people that are servants of God are the ones that you know, that's where those are the people that are with you on this journey. And if you're gonna watch out who you let close, because you want to be able to, in whatever situation, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You want the people that are close to be the ones that are that they're on the same spiritual page. You want those people, because there's a difference between, we do witness, we do minister, but there's a difference between that and who has access to your heart, your thoughts, what's going on with you. You know, be careful. Guard your heart above all things, because out of it comes the issues of life. You have to be careful with that, because there's much more going on. And right now is an amazing time. That's the thing. Right now is an amazing time to be alive. And for the children of God, I mean, you live right now in a time where so much is taking place. So much is changing. So much is in information technology, global weather shifts, governments shifting around the world, wars, it's like, if you don't have the Spirit of God, if I didn't have the Spirit of God, I would be freaking out right now. But because I know Him, it's this amazing adventure. Because in the midst of all of this, you will be allowed the opportunity to live an incredible life. And God will take care of you. God will watch over you. And in the middle of all of this whole thing, we learn to speak the kingdom of God into situations, and we ask in accordance with the will of God. And as we ask in accordance with the will of God, it does happen. It is done. And there is no ruler in this world, there is no principality, there's no power of darkness, there's no president, there's no prime minister, there's nothing that can stand against the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. So for us, just stay in that place of alignment and connection, because God wants to use you for what it is that He's doing. And we ask in accordance with His will, and it shall be done. So that stuff there for today.